Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. Thank you for listening, Word of Eternal Life. This is one of the favorite of my messages where you ask God for something. In Matthew chapter 7, ask, you shall be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, receives. He who knocks, asks, he will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks a bread, will give him a stone? Or if ask for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will you, your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 7 from 7 to 12. So we just talked about, if you ask a fish, will you give your son a snake? Jesus said, if you then give good things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father would love to give you what you ask. See, that is a confirmation of what Jesus said right before: ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. And knock, it door will open to you. He is confirming it. He is reinstating his word again. See, if your son asks you, what would you do about it? Would you try to give the best, right? Here, what Jesus is suggesting is, you always want to give the best of what you can get for your children. If that's the case, you are sinful, right? We are evil. In a way, before we get saved, we are the children of evil. We are evil because we did not accept Christ. Until we accept Christ, we are actually belong to Satan. Satan claims us. He claimed us from God, even though God created us, even though God is the Father of all of us, even the born, unborn, or to be born, or the people who are believers in Jesus Christ and God or not. We are all his children. But Satan can claim us because we haven't accepted Jesus Christ. My friends, the question is, are you the child of Satan or the child of God? See, if you say, no, I am none of it, there is none of those things. If that thing called none of it does not exist, either you are the child of God or you are the servant of Satan or his child, because he's going to claim you. If I am an unbeliever of God, I did not accept Jesus Christ, and did not receive my eternal salvation, I am going to be with Satan. My thoughts, my behavior, actions, and all those are guided by devil. Even though I may have some good natures. You see, you have seen many people. I know many people, they are very nice people. They help others, they love others, but the way they like to do it. But they're not made themselves to accept Jesus Christ and become the child of God. To become the child of God is the most important thing about Christianity. In Christianity, only belief system in the world, that you will become child of God. Other religions don't teach that. Islam does not teach that you will become Allah's child. The Hinduism does not teach, because they have 330,000 gods and goddesses. See, some are gods and some are male, some are female. There are female goddesses, they call it. Even in ancient of time, we have goddess Diana in Greece, in Ephesus, right? And Ephesus is in Asia Minor. At the time, we are talking about the Asia Minor, where we had a city called Ephesus, where there was the temple of God Artemis. Artemis is Diana in Greece. See, the ruins of all those temples are still there. Now, when I say none of those people, none of those gods, the human gods, I will say God made by human. See, we believe God made us, humanity, but those people make their own gods. See, that's what happened from after the Cain left God's presence, and he went and he made a building, a city. In the book of Genesis, it says, and his generation went on against God, a rebellious group of people. They became wicked and horrible. And then after that, Adam's generation also got wicked, and they joined, mixed together. And after a while, there was one man raised in that seventh generation of Adam, after Adam, seventh generation. His name was Enoch. And Enoch obeyed God and he walked with God. Where did he learn that? Of course, he learned from Adam and Eve's generation. So some, they all learned about it, but they all did not want to do it. They rebelled against God. Like afterwards, we see that they made their own gods. See, by the time they reached 10th generation, which was Noah's generation, there was only Noah. But Noah heard God. He understood God. His heart, you know, God has a presence in us. It's called God conscience. We have a conscience of ours. In that, God placed his presence, that we will remember him, that we know our guilt. If we do something wrong, our conscience will tell us. See, that one of the other way God placed his presence in us, by the Spirit of God, that we will cannot excuse. We cannot get excuse from God for doing sin, because we have the information. We know wrong and right already. So where I'm getting into is, after Noah's time, they made their own gods. See, when I come to Abraham's generation, I spoke about Abraham a little bit last time, I believe. And then the Abrahamic generation came. By the time, until Abraham, everybody is against walking away from God. Noah's three children, Japheth, Shem, and Ham, there were three of them. And Shem got blessed because of whatever reason. He was simply, probably was a follower of God, because it does not written down over there, but the Bible theologians believe Shemites, descendants of Shem, where comes Abraham. Now, until Abraham's father himself, Terah, was a builder of idols, until Abraham recognized there is a living God. See, that's where God started moving through Abraham's generation, who became afterwards Israelites. This is why God chose Israelites. It was not because of Israelites, it was because of Abraham. They were his descendants. Then God gave them the laws and rules and regulations after that through Noah, to Moses. Now, when we come back to here, you have to obey God to get the answer to your prayer. Here it says, God will give you what I was going forward with the evil natures of humanity. The humanity has Adam and Eve's sin nature in us. Even after we get saved, believe in Christ, we have that sin nature. But we need to get over with that. We need to fight against it by praying and meditating word, God's word, that God, we can have more of God in us than less of evil. So evil should not rise up in us. So the evil can rise up if we don't pray and worship God and we spend time with God, right? So the subject is changing. I want to get back to here where God give you good gifts even though when we ask him. Because we give good gifts to our children. Why not God doesn't give us good gifts? Because he is good. Everything is good in God. There is no evil in God. To those who ask him, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do you expect to be respected, loved? You love to have good things. You also provide how much goodness you have, you can give it to others. Whatever you expect from others, have you do that to others. That's what Jesus said. Hey, do we do 100% on these things? Of course not, but we still have to work on it. A lot of times we all have to work on it in order to be what Jesus is saying here. Now, I want to hit to the next topic Jesus mentioned in Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He talks about two gates. There are two gates. The two gates are speaking about the two type of life you can do, two type of way you can live in this planet Earth. That's what two ways of life. So in one of the way is you enter through the narrow gate. The narrow gate for the other one is the wide gate. So Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, I'm going to read it again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, people live, if you want to live the way you like to live, you wanted to have no control, no regulations, no rules, no Bible, no biblical law that certain people do not have any rules and regulations. They spend the time, if they are employed, they are working, or they have business, they do that a good part of the time. Then the other times, they spend some time to entertainment, enjoyment. See, when I am saying entertainment, please don't misunderstand me. There are entertainments which you decide with your moral decision that, hey, do I have to watch that entertainment? Do I have to watch this particular entertainment? If that's up to you to decide, that God gave you that permission, that you can decide what you want to watch on the television. Yes, of course, there are good things and there are some things you don't want to watch, which your moral standard will decide. See, you are a churchgoer, a believer in Jesus Christ, you believe in God, you follow a good moral standard, a good moral character, right? Your children, your family, right? I mean, even a young person. So you decide what path you have to take. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Your narrow path where you cannot carry too much of baggages. When you go through a narrow gate, you will have to shred out, you have to throw away some of the life's baggages of evil desires, evil thingings, immoral behaviors, right? You see, you want to get, sometimes there are questions in a job situation, in a company you are working, there are moral ethical standards. If you break those moral ethical standards they have defined in their books and which they have discussed with employees, then you will get fired if you break those laws. See, if the worldly system has that kind of law, why not God has a superior law? Do you think that you cannot do what the worldly law, why you will break God's law? This is what I always questioning myself too, right? Do I want to drive at the wrong side of the road and get the police stop me and I kill a bunch of people? And the other day I saw in one of the news that there was a man turned around, made a U-turn on a highway. Yeah, this was unbelievable. And he was not a legal resident. That's not the question here. The question is, the man made a wrong turn, make a U-turn, and then he killed a bunch of people. You know, this is, you cannot do that, right? So what I'm saying is, you have to obey the law in the state, in the United States of America. You know, some other countries, the laws are very, very totally unbelievable. I won't want to get into it, but I want to go to the law of the biblical law of God and the law of the government we are currently living in. So there is a law on the street, there is a law in the school, there is a law in the government offices or private companies, and if we have to follow those laws, why not we don't follow God's law? See, if you want to follow God's law, you will have to, rip off a lot of the things which you don't have to carry along with you. You don't need some of all these baggages you carried all your life. Some people have a limited amount of baggages. Some has more. You know, it's all different type of everybody's lifestyle. Some live for the wide gates. See, they have the time in the weekend or the evenings in a club where there is immorality. They are drinking alcohol, all kind of things going on. And that is what Jesus is mentioning about. The Sodom Gomorrah style of life. God punished that city, five cities in the Transjordan Valley, one of the most fertile land of the time. At the time in the Transjordan, in the valley, there were five cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah. God just destroyed them because of their lavish and filthy and sinful life. So that is what we are talking about. And Jesus, as God himself, he knows all this, doesn't he? Now, a person want to walk through a broader way, we are talking about your lifestyle. We are talking about my lifestyle. So today we have both lifestyles. See, that you can do, go through a narrow path where you remove all the things which you shouldn't have. When you want to get saved, you are the only one going to get saved. Salvation is a self-decided project. It's all you can do. It's only you can pass through that gate. God gave you a narrow gate. That narrow gate is not about having poverty and famine and jobless and moneyless life. No, that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about your life restrained from immorality, alcohol drinking and smoking and drug addiction and other sins which I'm not going to list, which we know what sin is. So we have to be careful that we will avoid that. We don't want to go through that wider gate where there is lot of joy and gladness and rejoicing every night and or even more time in the weekend and drugs and all the things happening. So this is what we are talking about today's wider gate. Even when Jesus' time, the world was, even in the Noah's time, the wide gate was wide open. The wide gate was the biggest immorality of the world that God decided to really wipe out the human race. And create, maybe he planned to create new creation. So he wiped out every humanity except eight people. Noah, himself, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. See, these three sons were grew up and they had no children. It doesn't record it in the Bible. Now, Bible says that they had children when they came out after that. Talks about the nations came out of Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Today, the generation of the humanity, the world is made from those three men and their wives. So if you really study the Bible history and look at all those generations from the 10th chapter of Genesis, it's called the Table of Nations, where all the nations today evolved, came up out of those three generations. So the sin has no limitation. Sin is wide and broad, and you want to walk through that gate, you will go to destruction. At the end of the whole thing, you will end up in hell fire, where there is brimstone and sulfur, and where there is worms going through our part of the bodies, nose, ears, everywhere. The worms in fire. Sometimes, some years ago, people never believed that. But today, you know, in some of the programs, when you watch, you can see those volcano islands and the volcanoes under the sea. There are really worms breathing. They want to live in that extreme temperature. There are worms live in extreme temperature. We know that today. I have seen that many times in those documentaries. So it is possible. Bible does not lie. Everything Bible says is true. The book of Isaiah, in the last chapter, ends with saying that you will go and see their tormentation, the worms never die, the fire never quench. See, that's where the wider gate, the entrance and the gate of hell is called the gate of hell. That's where it goes. Many people, we wanted to say why we are preaching these messages, because God wanted his mouth, our mouth, used for this, to declare this punishment is coming. It's not too far away, right? Well, there is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ before people go to hell, but people think that if I die today, no, I don't go to hell. Well, they do go to a burning place. They go to a place their body will be tormented. After that, another 1,000 years later, then there is a final judgment, then they go to the real hellfire. So the real hellfire, they don't go. No one goes now, right? The false prophet and the Antichrist goes there first. After that, Satan himself will be thrown there. And then there will be the final judgment. Praise God. So this is, Bible is true. The Isaiah's prophecy said there was worms and there will be gnashing of teeth and they will be crying and weeping the whole eternity, which we are talking about eternity, timelessness, which we call timelessness. The time will end that after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. If Jesus come today, we will be in heaven. The Christian believers, waiters, they go to Jesus 7 years. The tribulation period is 7 years in the earth. After 7 years, Christ will return in glory and in power and deliver the remnant of believing Jews. And then there will be a judgment of the nations, and the ones who believe in Christ, ones who he chosen, the chosen ones, which are the ones who helped the Jewish nation, the Israelites at this time, the ones who help them now, they will be taken into the kingdom for 1,000-year reign. After that, there will be a final judgment, right? We are talking about that broad gate or entrance, which Jesus said, is that's when it happens. Until that time, there will be so many other things will happen. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. My friends, only a few. I want you to be one of those few people who will find eternal life. Your soul will be saved the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You accept him as your Savior, that he came to die for your sins, and he died, buried, resurrected on the third day, and he ascended after a meeting with his apostles or disciples at the time for 40 days. Intermittently, different times, Jesus appeared to them, spent time with them, talked with them, guided them, instructed them, and also told them, go all the world and preach the gospel. What is gospel? The good news that you can be saved. That is the good news. You can be saved by believing and putting faith in Jesus Christ and accepting him and giving, being the child of God. You will have eternal life. Your soul will live forever. And when Jesus returns in the midair, you will be transformed and resurrected. If you are dead at the time, your body will rise to heaven. I am not going into detailed explanation of those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, and also read 15, the chapter of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the resurrection of the dead in Christ. See, you have to die in Christ. You have to have Christ in you before you die. You have to have you until you live, as long as you live until Christ returns. Your body will transform as a heavenly body. And we all receive a body from heaven made by God, as it says in 1 Corinthians Epistle chapter 15. And Paul talks about it, the great revelation God gave it to Paul. Some of the other apostles did not get all these revelations, but Paul was explaining because he received that great revelation from heaven, God's presence, and written those for us. So we will go through a narrow gate. Our life may be a little harder. Our life may get a little narrow. We may get sick sometimes. Sometimes we pray, God, help us. But God may be teaching us through a period of time. Sometimes you get difficult circumstances. You go through problems, difficulties. In a narrow gate, you may go through troubles and difficulties. Satan may try to tempt you. You will go to God and ask for help. You will pray every day, God, say, help me from the temptations. That's one thing that many times we all forget to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We must pray that. Jesus said we have to pray that prayer. Jesus says, forgive us our debts. Chapter 6, Matthew 12, as we also forgiven others. Then he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. My friends, if you are a believer Christian, don't forget, to make a model. Jesus gave us a model to pray. I am not saying that you repeat this and copy this every single day. No, you just make it as a model. And make sure we pray that we won't get into temptation, that we stay close to God. We go through the narrow gate, but God give us peace and eternity at the end. May the Lord richly bless you with this verse. May we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov@gmail.com.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.